This is Kurt.
And this is Tracy.
And this is the MFG Cast. Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the MFG Cast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about a couple of fantastic games. Yeah, I said it. We're going to be talking about Verdant?
I don't know.
You know what's funny is I should have like figured out like how to say it, you know? How do you say Verdant? Let's see if you see what this says.
Which language?
English? Nope, that didn't work. Here we go. Oh, I don't have my volume up. Let's try it again.
Verdant.
That doesn't sound as good to me. Verdant.
Well, it's kind of, seems kind of aggressive to do Verdant.
Yeah, Verdant.
And.
But Verdant sounds boring, Verdant.
Except for the fact that I probably will mispronounce it.
Yeah. Verdant. And Meadow.
Well, and what's interesting is that if it's Verdant, you'd think it'd be E-N-T.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
I think we're wanting to do Verdant.
Yeah.
Because of and.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know.
But that's not how sometimes the English language is, even though the English language is terrible.
Because you don't use a
knife. It's true.
Okay, well. Anyway.
Way off track.
All right, well, as you said, we're talking about two fantastic games.
Yes, we are.
Meadow. Which is an easier one to pronounce.
Yes.
And Verdant.
Verdant.
Maybe they pronounce it Verdant.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm not sold on the pronunciation.
No, I'm not either. So, let's get right into it. Which game do we want to talk about first?
Watch a game. Let's talk about, let's go backwards in the alphabet.
Okay.
Let's talk about Verdant.
I can tell you almost wanted to say it the other way. I can see it in your face.
Verdant. So, I'm going to lead this one.
Okay.
How about that?
Sounds great.
So, Verdant, for those of you who are not familiar with this game, is a game by Flat Out Games Co-lab. It's a game by Flat Out Games Co-lab and AEG. I'm not going to list the whole slew of people because there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them.
Yep.
Even though I'm up for the challenge because the names aren't too challenging. And then illustration by Beth Sobel.
Okay.
Which that name is very familiar because we have talked about and played many games that she's illustrated.
Yeah, for sure.
So the art is beautiful.
Awesome as always.
Yep. And this game, I just want to look on the, do they talk about, okay, here it goes. I was like, it has to be on here. Please, it says 30 to 45 minutes, 1 to 5 players, so you can play it solo, and it's 10 and up, which I never like following the age.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've listened to other podcasts, too, where they were like, yeah, I feel like this is way too high of an age for a kid, or way too low for a kid, or whatever. And I'm like, people are different levels of things, no matter how old you are.
Yeah.
So Logan
playing games that were 14 and up when he was 8.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that's just a suggestion. It's not a set in stone kind of thing. Because a lot of games, when they talk about playtime, I'm like, there's no way I'm playing this in 40 minutes or whatever, because it always feels like some games just take longer.
Yeah.
But.
Well, because you could be in your analysis paralysis phase.
Yeah, and it depends upon your players, too, you know?
Yeah. Okay, Sorry, we digress. Because we have now gone off track on how to pronounce Verdant.
Mm-hmm.
And also, ages and times.
Yes, yep.
We're a little bit squirrely.
That's okay.
Okay. So they say in the rule book that Verdant is a puzzly spatial card and token drafting game of houseplant collection and care.
Nice.
So this potentially could be a game that you want to play if you can't truly take care of a real plant. Which is true for me. I often forget to water real plants in the house, and so this is the game for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I had kind of alluded to, the art is fantastic. Again, it's illustrated by Beth Sobel. She does some fantastic art. I think she's done some art for Arboretum, right?
Yep.
Herbaceous.
Yep.
Yeah, lots of plant type games.
Yeah,
but, I feel like she's done some other.
She's done some other one like World's Fair.
Oh yeah,
she did that too.
Yeah, but I could only think of the plants.
So it probably is one that she really likes to do.
So they alluded. They alluded to this being a puzzly spatial card and token drafting game. So you're going to have plant cards, room cards, and various item tokens, nurture item tokens. So the unique item tokens would be like different things that you can place in your tableau of cards.
Yeah, so it's almost like your house. So it's like a couch or a cat or, you know, certain things.
A lamp.
Like yeah.
Fishbowl.
Yeah.
Something like that. It comes with this really nice cloth bag to keep all those tokens in.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is really cool is part of the game is these green thumb tokens, which I'll talk. I'm not going to go into like crazy detail on this, but the green thumb tokens caught me as really cool because they could have just done one skin tone of a green thumb.
Mm hmm.
And because they're literal thumbs up kind mm-hmm. of things.
Yeah.
They're all different skin tones.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool.
I think that's awesome.
And then there's some bits. So there's like, they kind of look like.
Like leaf.
Plant leaves.
Yeah, plant leaves, yeah.
And they refer to them as three, what are we calling this game again?
Verdant. Verdant.
Three verdancy and one verdancy.
Yeah.
So they're different sizes based on the values.
Yeah. And I actually, when I looked at how to say it, it actually does a description of verdant, which is a bright green color of lush grass.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So what you're going to be doing is basically, I'm going to talk about how we set it up and kind of played it a little bit as a two-player game.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do, because we're two people.
Yeah, and it could change depending upon player count, too.
So you're going to place out plant cards, which have a bunch of stuff on them. The beautiful artwork by Beth. But they also have room colors. They have verdancy totals that you have to collect along the way. They also have points that you collect if you basically nurture and feed that plant
mm-hmm.
as you're playing. And then they have some, they name the plant. They have something underneath it. They have like the easy name and then they have a complicated name underneath it, smaller. But then they also tell you sometimes some more facts about the plant and how it's maintained, meaning like, does it need full sunlight? Does mm-hmm. it need partial shade? Does it need all shade? Because those things are going to be important as you're playing the game.
Yeah, which in real life, that's a big thing too. You know, if you have flowers that you want to have, you know, outside of your house or you want to have them inside, you have to, you know what kind of, you know, what kind of, how you take care of it, basically. Otherwise, they die right away.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And then I reference, like, on the plant cards, they also have room types, and the rooms are based on the type of plant,
mm-hmm.
which I guess I never realized that when we were playing. I was looking at it as the colors of the room, but they actually stand for something, too.
Yeah.
So, like, For example, there's a room that's like a fuchsia color, and it stands for succulents.
Oh, nice.
Or the orange room is unusual plants, and the yellow room is for flowering plants.
Gotcha.
And they have a couple other...
So on and so forth, yeah.
Yeah, they have five rooms in total. But then we reference the unique item tokens that help, and those are based on color, which you can place in the rooms as you go along. And then there's those nurture item tokens that I kind of just breezed over, but those will help you along the way too. So when you start the game, you're going to take the unique item tokens and the nurture item tokens, and you're going to toss them in that cloth bag.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to mix them up really good. And then what you're going to do is you're going to set out four random plants and four random rune cards. And then you're going to draw four random tokens and place them in the middle between the flowers and, or the plants, excuse me, because they're not all flowers,
mm-hmm.
and the rooms. And then you're going to set out all the other things that you could possibly collect along the way. And then each player starts with one plant and one room card. And the goal of the game is to build a 5x3 grid. So five across, three up, and you have to build it as, I would say, kind of a checkerboard pattern, meaning like it has to be room, plant, room, plant, room, plant, or plant, room,
yeah, so
throughout the entire thing. So you can't have two plants next to each other or two rooms next to each other. They have to be rotating back and forth, but it has to be left to right, top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're placing these, you do the best that you can, or however you want to do it. Try to follow the conditions of the plant and or the room. So plants can match with rooms based on the color on the plant and or how it thrives. So if it works in an all sunny space and the room, you can place on one side of the room card. So the room cards have different conditions on them. So one side might be a sunny side, one side might be shade, one might be partially shade, and one might be no shade.
Yeah.
Or no shade.
No
all
sun.
All shade.
All shade.
All shade.
Yeah.
And so if you can place your cards strategically around that, you're going to get more points. If one, your plant matches the room, two, your plant matches the condition.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get, and you can match, excuse me, let me tackle more onto it. As you're placing more on, if you're matching the condition, like let's say you have a room above one plant, so you have a room above, a plant below, and then a room to the side of that plant, you could match on both of the rooms.
Yep.
When you place the plant. But you always have to place like next to and around or whatever. Then what I mean is when you're matching, you're actually collecting that verdancy that I talked about, like the extra, they're basically like points that you get to complete the play.
Yeah. So what do you mean by that then? So when you're putting a card next to a room that has a certain specific thing, well, like say you have one or two cards that are room cards that are attached to it that have those certain
mm-hmm.
Conditions that are met, like what do you do to give that plant that verdancy?
Yep. Because they're little wooden leaves,
mm-hmm.
you're going to take them and you're going to place them right on top of the plant. And then based on the plant, they have a leaf that looks just like that wooden token. And it tells you how many you have to collect before you can basically finish the plant.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the plant you're doing needs five. Once you collect five on that, in a variety of ways, and I can tell you how you can get it more, different ways that you can collect it, then basically what you're going to do, and I haven't talked about these yet, is there's pots. And you take the pot and you're going to place it on top of the pot on that card. And that basically tells you you finished this plant and now you've completed it. And you're going to collect points at the end of the game for it.
Yep.
And the points that you're going to collect at the end of the game for it is not necessarily the verdancy, which they might match the points on the card, but it's going to be like a golden yellow point underneath the verdancy total on mm-hmm. the plant card.
Yep.
So, and the sooner you finish the plants in your 5x3 grid, then you'll get a pot to put on the pot on this card already, valued higher. So, meaning like there are a set number of pots that are valued at 3. So you'll get that to add to your ending score, 2, 1, and then there's just some terracotta pots that'll help you complete your card, but they won't give you any additional points on your card.
Correct. Yep.
But they still help you to complete your card. Uh-huh. You always want to add a pot to your card.
Exactly.
To show that it's done.
To show that the verdancy is at its maximum.
Yes.
Yes.
So that will always be done then. But to acquire enough verdancy, because there's some plant cards that maybe require like 7 or something like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might think it's impossible to be able to get that. And that's where the nurture tokens come in. So the nurture tokens, there's 3 different kinds. There's fertilizer, there's a trowel, and there's a watering can.
Mm.
So the fertilizer will allow you to place, if you use that, that will allow you to place 3 verdancy on 1 plant. If you choose to use a hand trowel, if you have drawn that from the bag or collected that from the spaces above, which I didn't talk about how to collect those, mm-hmm. which I will in a second, kind of like excited about this apparently. those will allow you to place 3 verdancy on any plants in your tableau.
Yep, so you're putting 1 on 3 different plants.
Yes, you cannot put like 2 on 1 plant and 1 on another.
Yes, correct.
It's 3 individual ones. If you only have 2 plants out, then you only place 2 verdancy.
Correct.
And then the watering can, I can't remember that one.
That one I actually do remember. I never used that one. That one is what you do is you're actually putting, you're choosing a room. And then anything that any plants that are adjacent to that all get 1 verdancy on them. So
you're correct. I just looked at that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and another thing about green thumbs is they have more benefit than just having the different skin tones for people. They also help with increasing the number of verdancy on your plants. So you can cash in 2 for plus 1 verdancy placed on a plant, or you can cash in 2 to remove cards from the display. I think
you can wipe out either a plant row or a room row and then replace those cards.
Or you can use them to pick miscellaneously, meaning like you could pick 1 plant from 1 section and one tile from a different area. You don't have to use the column rule.
Yep.
Like you would have to normally.
Yeah.
But there is a limit to the number of thumbs you can have. They cap out at 5.
Yep.
So but sure. They are very beneficial.
Yeah, they definitely help you to get to that end game scoring.
Yes. So ways to collect nurture item tokens or the unique item tokens like the furniture or lamps or whatever that work is, you know, I was talking at the beginning, we talked about laying out plants, we talked about laying out those tokens, and then we talked about laying out the room cards.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's your turn, you look at the placement there and you decide, do I want to take a room card or a plant card? based on how you have your things, your tableau set up. Keeping in mind that you always have to go plant, room, plant, room, plant, room.
Yep.
Or room, plant, you know, you get the gist. And then you're going to take one of those cards and you're going to place it in your grid.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have to take the item that is...
in that same row, basically. Or in that column, basically. Yeah, the column,
yeah,
right?
The column.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it could be an item that could, down the road, potentially enhance or give you more points to the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be something that helps you get more verdancy or complement your plants or help you earn points along the way.
Yes.
You do get a card where you can store one of those also. Or you can, if you get one that you want to store, you can swap those up too.
Yep.
But then as you use or collect the nurture ones, those don't have to be placed in your room, because there's a center square where you would place like the furniture or whatever. Those actually just sit out of the game once you use them.
Mm-hmm.
But you, as you're collecting like the furniture or the lamps or whatever those complimentary items for your rooms are, you get more points at the end of the game if you match the colors.
Yep.
And if you get one of each item.
Yeah, yeah, you get so many points depending upon however many unique items you have there.
Yeah, it's like they add a little bit of set collection in there, which I totally forgot as we were playing.
Yeah, yeah.
I ended up doing okay on the set collection and stuff like that, but it's not bad if you place something in your room that doesn't have the same color, but you benefit more, you get more points if it matches.
Correct.
But it helps you with the set collection if you don't.
It does, it does. And also during the game too, on your turn, you can only place one of those item tokens per turn.
Yes.
That's why it has that little save card to be able to save something for later, because it gives you that option to save it and use it later on in the game. So, mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it's hard to visualize the game, and I wasn't going to go this deep. But I always do, before we started this recording, we were like, we are not going to go very deep on this, but leave it to me to start it and get crazy and nitty gritty. But basically, I'm not going to get into it. Well, actually, to say there's some other things we haven't played. We haven't played the solo variant. There's some advanced, I think they say. There's some goal cards, unique plant goal cards, unique item goal cards, and unique room goal cards. To kind of an enhance your play, but because it was for our first play, we didn't do that. And then once you complete the entire grid, which I think they say in 13 rounds, I believe, then you start scoring. So you go through your grid and start scoring on the plants that are complete versus any that still have that verdancy on them. And then you're going to add all that verdancy up and divide by two and round down. You're going to look at your set collection on those items. You're going to look at the number of pots that count for points. Remember I said there were pots that were worth 3, 2, 1, and then some that weren't worth anything.
Yeah, the certain unique items that are, yeah, the unique items that match up in the certain rooms, however many of those you have, you'll get a certain amount of points that way. Also, what color your plant is that should be connected to the certain room that you're there, you get certain points that way as well.
Yep.
There's a lot of different ways to score points in this game, and a lot of different ways to win.
I really like this game.
I do too. I feel like any game that Flat Out has done with AEG, they've knocked it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no exception. So again, it's just there's so many ways to win this game and to score points that I always love that about games where you get multiple ways to kind of get to that end game scoring to win, instead of just being like, well, if I only had so many of these, I win, and if I don't, I get a tie. You know, I like that there's that option.
Well, what's funny about it too is the fact that, like, I think as we were doing the scoring, we both missed a piece because there were a couple different spots where you're like, wait a minute, don't forget to count that, or...
Yeah.
You know, whatnot, but...
Yeah, and that happens in any game you're kind of learning, too, if has a different scoring rules and stuff like that. But I feel like this is a game that's very... Very, again, we've played a lot of games lately where they've been really easy to teach and really easy to learn. And it's just, it's again, it's just trying to master the certain ways, the certain paths to victory, you know?
Mm-hmm. And affordability-wise, I just looked it up while Kurt was talking because I didn't know. It looks like most places are selling it for around $35.
Nice.
Which, honestly, I don't think that's bad.
No, and there's so much to it, especially with the advanced rules and the goals and stuff like that. That gives you a lot of replayability, and I think you could get a lot out of this game. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Plus, with being able to play it solo as well, like, it gives you a lot of options, which I like that. I like that you get a game that is, you know, not overly expensive. It plays for, you know, for me, if it, you get a lot of significant plays out of it. And, you know, it's just, it's a great game. It's beautiful. Streamlined. It's good.
Oh, came out in 2022? That can't be right.
Could be.
Yeah.
2022. So it's ancient by board game standards. We probably
had this sitting there. What our goal lately, and we didn't mention this either, is it's always our goal. Whose goal isn't it? To play games that you've purchased that sit there and you haven't played them. And this one has been sitting there for a bit. Not since 2022, probably. Not.
No.
So, you know, we picked a couple games and we were like, we gotta play these. And this one we for sure haven't played.
No.
Till now.
Yep.
Meadow, you'd played.
Correct.
And said, I like this game, I think you like it. And then I said, okay, I'll buy it.
Because we're like
so,
that.
So, that's just how it rolls. And so, then I played it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, of course I liked this.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, let's roll into that.
All right. Let's roll into Meadow. Meadow is a game that is designed by Clemens Kalicki. I hope that's
right. I just
want
right. to read the names.
I love names. The art is by Carolina Kayak. Or Kayak? It's got the, like, two dots above the Y. Is that an umlaut? I can't remember. Kiak? And published by Rebel Studios. It plays 1 to 4 players. Another game that you can play solo or with people. 10+ for the ages and plays 60 to 90 minutes. Let's talk about what Meadow is about.
Oh, Lord. Here he goes. It's been a while, guys. Sorry.
In Meadow, players are nature-observing wanderers who compete for the title of the most skilled observer. Equipped with knowledge, they wander picturesque landscapes, search for different species of animals and plants, and discover unusual items. They can find small rodents in tall grasses during their trip, spot a buzzard hunting prey, or even see an adder. The competition continues at the campfire where players present the results of their observations. Remember that only one person can be acclaimed as the most skilled observer. Will that be you? So, Meadow is a game where you are kind of creating your own meadow. So this is another kind of tableau game, kind of similar to Verdant. I almost called it Verdant. To round out your meadow, you're going to be playing ground cards. You're going to be playing observation cards, which go on top of those ground cards. You're going to be playing, there's a separate area above that where you're going to be playing landscape cards. And then on top of that, you're going to be putting discovery cards as well. So to set up the game, basically what you're going to do is, depending upon the player count, you're going to set up certain things. So you've got like a main board where you can put out the certain direction cards. So you'll start off with like the west, south, and east, and the north cards will be played later. And it's got this 4x4 grid where you'll set out these cards and put them down the columns depending upon which direction that they're actually lined on. So each player is going to be getting 5 path tokens matching their color, or 4 in a 4-player game. They're going to be getting 3 bonus tokens of their matching color. They're going to get a road token with a visible road symbol and a 2-sided starting ground card. You also have a bonfire board where you're going to have lots of different tokens on the bonfire board, which we'll talk about in a little bit. You'll actually place a round marker on the first spot on the round marker board, and depending upon the player count, you're either going to be playing 6 for a 2 or 3 player game, or for a 4-player game, you're going to be playing 8 rounds, and then you're going to have this like first player token that you're going to give to the first player. So to play this game during the course of a round, you're going to be taking these player tokens, you're going to be putting them either on the main board or you're going to be doing them on the bonfire board. So we'll talk about the main board first. So like I said, the main board has these cards that go in columns depending upon which direction that they are. So like you've got west, it'll have a column of 4 cards. You're going to have south, which is actually going to have 2 columns of 4 cards, and eventually the north will come into play later. And then you'll have an east that has 4 cards going down a column. And then what you're going to be doing is you're going to be taking these player tokens and you're going to be placing them on the board in certain directions, and you're going to be taking the card from that certain area. So if you decide to put your one of your player tokens and you put it on like the left side of the board and it has a 2 on it with the like a little card symbol, you're going to be going to in the direction depending upon where you're going. So like say I put it on the left side of the board, I'm going to be going 2 in the right direction and I'm going to get that second card and I'm going to take that into my hand. And then you're going to refill that spot on the main board. Now, with being able to take cards from the main board, you're actually going to be able to play cards in your tableau during your turn. But there's certain ways that you're going to be able to do that. So when you're taking that card and putting it on your tableau, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be making sure that you're going to be fulfilling those specifications that are on that card to be able to play them. So it'll on the top left, it'll have of these cards, it'll have an icon that shows you that that is one of the icons that you have during the game. But underneath that, it'll have a specification on how you need to play that card on your board. So like if it specifies it needs a certain kind of ground card, like grass, then you'd have to have grass on your board. And we talked about you start with a starting ground card that's double-sided that will have certain kind of ground on there. So it's like rock, or there's grass, or there's...
I think the starting card is a leaf.
They're different. They're different depending upon the player color you get.
Really?
Yeah.
I think ours were the same.
They were not. Ours weren't the same, though. I'm pretty sure.
I thought ours were the same.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Because you
could pick between leaf and... with a caterpillar and...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure ours were both different, but I could be wrong. Well, now I don't know. It doesn't say. Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Well, either way, it doesn't matter. Probably at this not. Point. So, you like I said, you if you have something in your hand where the requirements on the card you have on your tableau, you're able to put them on your board or on your tableau. With the other caveat is that you're supposed to cover up one of the cards that you had that symbol to actually play the card. So what that's going to do is the card that you're playing is going to get you the symbol that you needed or symbols, but it's going to take away a symbol that you used to put that card out in the first place.
But you're not covering up the whole card.
Correct. You're not covering up the bottom.
You're covering up that symbol. You're keeping the symbol that's on the bottom.
Yep. So whether it's a ground symbol, the symbol would still be present, or the victory points. So yep. For every card that you play out on the board that is a observation card, and we'll talk just about observation right now because there's other things, but we'll talk about that in a second. They'll have a certain amount of victory points, and you'll get those victory points at the end of the game.
Yep. Just so that they're not covering up the whole card.
Mm-hmm. Correct. There's also, besides the observation cards and the ground cards that you can get, because you can actually also get more ground cards on that game board that'll help you have those ground symbols to be able to put more cards out. You can also get what's called a landscape. So you can actually grab a card that has a landscape, and that the meadow area, because technically this is all your meadow, but they have a meadow area, tableau area, but then they have the landscape area. And what you're going to be able to do is you're going to need a road tile, which is that you get one to start with. And then sometimes it will also have other specifications, like with the observation cards. Okay. So like if you need to put out a landscape and it needs that, that road tile, it'll kind of show you the road symbol that's on that tile that you have, or you'll have to get a road tile eventually. Or it could also have certain other things. So like it could say like, okay, you need a butterfly or something like that symbol. Then you would need both of those to do that, and you'd be able to put that above your meadow area. And then once you use that, you have to use, for each landscape, you have to use a road token. You'd flip that road token with that symbol over, and it would just show you just the plain road to show you that that's complete. And then after that, once you have a fulfilled landscape card, you can actually put one discovery card on that as well. And discoveries are like, oh, this is a book, or I found some binoculars or something like that. And it'll do the same thing. It'll have a symbol that it shows you you need one landscape, and then it will possibly have other requirements like, you know, like, oh, you need like a tree symbol or a bug symbol or something like that. And then you'll be able to put that on top of that one for one. And you get more victory points that way. And you cover those. Those are actually landscaped. So like you would see like on when you're trying to print out something, landscape is like basically long ways from left to right, basically. So being able to get those cards off your main board, you'll have your tokens that there's a top and a bottom. You'd use the top part of your path token to be able to get those. So the numbers go from a 1 to 4, or if you're playing a 2 to 3 player game, it has a question mark. So you can pick any number and go in any direction to be able to get those cards, if it's possible, if they're not covered up by other players' tokens. So that's pretty much how you would get stuff off the main board that way. There's also a bonfire board, which has little tokens that go around this certain bonfire. And what you're going to be doing is you're going to use that bottom part of those path tokens to be able to do special abilities and kind of special actions. So like one of them is on the 2 path token, you could get 2 road tokens. So if you get 2 road tokens, you'd be able to use those for your landscapes to go on during the rest of the game. Another one is like the number 1 path token, you'd be able to take 1 card from the main board, and you can take it from anywhere. The 3 token, you'd be able to look at the top 3 cards of any deck and take one of them and put the two other ones on the bottom of that deck. Or if you use the 4 token on the bonfire, you'd be able to play 2 cards out in your meadow tableau. And then again, if you're playing the 2 to 3 players and you have that question mark path token, you'd be able to do any of those actions. The caveat with the 1, 2, and 3 path tokens, if you play those on the bonfire board, you can't put any cards on your tableau that turn. Also, on that bonfire board, you're going to be able to create pairs of tokens, and you're going to be able to get goals for endgame scoring. So what's going to happen is, like, say there's a bunch of tokens that go around that bonfire. If you play one in between one that has like a paw and a tree, you have to make sure that both of those symbols are on your tableau to be able to, yeah, visible basically, yep. To be able to put those bonus tokens, which I talked to you about at the beginning, you get a 2-point token, a 3-point token, and a 4-point token. And you have to put those in order from lowest to highest as you go out throughout the game.
And that is first come, first serve. So if one person places the 2 in between the tree and the butterfly, let's say, then no one else can place a token there.
Yeah, exactly.
And the tokens change throughout games played because they're just drawn from a pool of.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you talked about that.
You know, so you could, you know, putting out those tokens, you know, as quickly as you can will get you more points during the game. Especially, you know, and then, of course, putting out more of your discovery cards and your landscape cards and your observation cards will get you points, too. The end of the round is after you've placed all of your path tokens that everybody can play on either one of the boards. And then once that's done, you're going to collect all your path tokens. You're going to pass the first player token to the player on the left of the player that started that last round. And then they're going to be the first player. You move the round marker token, and then you move on to the next round. There is a halfway point during the game, depending upon however many players you play. There's like this hourglass symbol, and once you pass that hourglass symbol, you're going to do the following things. You're going to discard all the cards from the main board and randomly place them on the bottom of the corresponding decks. You're going to replace the south deck with the north deck. You're going to refill the board with the corresponding decks, and then you're just going to continue the game. And then you play the game until the end of however many rounds, 6 in a 2-3 player game, or 8 for a 4, and then you do scoring at the end. So what you're going to be doing is you're going to be scoring, like I said, with those cards that are on your board. You're going to be scoring those goals that you have on the bonfire track, and I think that's it. And then whoever has the most victory points wins. If you're tied, it's the player that has the most discovery cards. And if they're still a tie, player share a victory, which I dislike. But, I mean, it is what it is.
And when we played this, we thought that was the case.
Yeah, we almost tied to share the win. And I was like, that's stupid.
But we had someone coming over. So I was quickly counting my points. And I thought I had the same amount of points as Kurt had. And then we were like, that's crap. We don't want to match points.
And then we had the same amount of discovery cards,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so we tied, and then we tied in the tie. And then we were going to share the victory. And we were like, no, we are not sharing.
No.
We're poor examples of not wanting to share. And then I said, just for kicks, count my points one more time, because I did count them quickly because we had somebody coming over. And I miscounted by one, so...
Yeah.
I ended up...
You ended up winning.
Sweeping.
How dare you.
Sweeping the game by 1 point.
Now we're going back to what we like about Meadow. I already talked about endgame scoring. We're all good.
Yep.
So, yeah. Meadow is another game that is just beautiful. Like, all the little animals are really awesome looking. All the other items and stuff like that. The landscapes and the discovery cards and stuff like that are cool.
I thought it was fairly easy to learn, too, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that I kept having to reference was... when were some of the symbols going to come up so that we would see them? Because they're not throughout... they don't display them in every direction of the country.
Yeah.
So, which makes sense, because not... some animals are not known to live in certain... in the southern region or the northern region, or you get the point. Mm-hmm. So... we were referencing that a lot, and that is okay, but I think some people don't pay attention to that.
Yeah.
So we were trying to strategize with that.
Yeah, and I think one of the cool things that they did is in the instructions on the back where they talk about turn order and stuff like that, it's a little reference tool. It actually tells you about how many cards that are going to have certain symbols in certain directions. Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of the scoring goal to... or symbols or whatever were going to be mostly in the north and south cards, so you have to kind of be careful on how you get those kind of things. And then some of those other, you know, symbols, it's like, okay, so there's only two symbols in the south, in the east area and whatever. So it's like, if you play multiple players, it's gonna be harder to get to those symbols than...
well, and especially hard if you're done playing with the south now and you've moved to the north.
Yeah, exactly.
So... but yeah, I thought it was a great game. I actually am I was thinking Meadow has an expansion, an ocean one.
Yeah.
Which I think would be cool to add to this.
For sure.
Also.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, again, we played these both in the same day, and it's just, they both kind of hit that tableau thing. They both hit that easy to learn, easy to teach kind of thing, multiple paths to victory kind of thing, and yeah, it's just, like, it was a good game day to be able to play both of these and really get them to the table. And we, like we talked about before, we were able to get the games that we hadn't technically opened and played to the table,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Yeah, even if one of us had played it, Meadow, for Kurt, we hadn't actually opened our copy and played it.
Yep, exactly.
And I hadn't played it at all.
Yeah.
So, it was a good, yeah, it was a good day to play.
I think so as well. So, yeah, have any of you played Verdant or Meadow? What do you think? Have you played with the expansion to Meadow? You know, if it seems like something that you're interested in, if you have any more questions, you can always check us out on Instagram. You can always get a hold of us on Blue Sky. We have accounts there. Yeah, just let us know what you think about these games, or if you have any questions on that, make sure you get a hold of us that way.
And also, now that we've been calling Verdant Verdant, it makes more sense to me.
I heard you say,
why were we calling it Verdant? Because it seems weird, because Verdant makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hmm.
We become creatures of habit.
Yeah, we sure do, I think. So until next time, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
And this was the MFG Cast. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.